The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day." The Gospel of the Lord. Just, I said earlier that we would have the prayer of enrollment after the homily, but I'm just going to follow the liturgy as it's laid out in the book, so we'll do it after communion. Well, Sister Mary Emanuel, when I arrived, was telling me how they lost power here. You know, these crazy winds that we've been having, I almost got blown off the highway, and on the Mass Pike, there's a bridge, and all of a sudden this wind hit me, and wow, frightened me. But, you know, Sister Mary Emanuel was just telling me, reminding me that, you know, when we try to do something for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Satan really pulls out the big guns, and he tries to just make things difficult or impossible for us. But of course, he never wins, because the Sacred Heart is the one who wins the day. Now, they've lost power here. I got a couple of hospital calls on the way over here and was trying to call because I thought I was going to be late. But, you know, the phone's not working because there's no power. So that's just, you know, it's kind of par for the course when it comes to us trying to serve the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So today we are commemorating our beloved dead. We are commemorating the faithful departed. All of our deceased ones, our deceased sisters of the visitation, our deceased loved ones, family members, and especially all the souls in purgatory. It's always good to remember them, especially those who died a long time ago and have no one to pray for them. Often I like to go to those cemeteries that they have mostly in eastern Massachusetts, where you have, like, for example, the granary over in Boston. Where I think it's Benjamin Franklin's father is buried. There's a big obelisk that says Franklin, but it's not Benjamin. And I love those old colonial tombstones, you know, that have the death's heads with the wings and these beautiful, sometimes comical inscriptions. But I often think, you know, these are people who died in the 1600s, the 1700s, Does anyone know who they are? Is anyone praying for them? And it's important, you know, and that's relatively recent. That's only a few centuries ago. But humanity has been around for many a century. And so it's important for us to pray for the holy souls in purgatory. And today we can pray in a special way for all the deceased members of the Guard of Honor, those who now, with the grace of Christ, God willing, have made it to heaven, and those who haven't made it yet, may they receive the help of our prayers and the love which all of us are called to share in imitation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, I welcome all of you who are here today, and especially those of you who may be new to the concept of the Guard of Honor of the Sacred Heart. The Guard of Honor it used to be called an arch confraternity. Now it's an association of the faithful, and it is something that was started 151 years ago in France at a monastery of the Visitation, where this sister Marie of the Sacred Heart, Bernot was her last name, she in prayer received this message that Jesus wanted to have something like this assembled. It came to her after meditating on a psalm. Sorry, I'm tired. What's the number of the psalm? Help me, anyone? I sought comforters but found none. Is it 69? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure it's Psalm 69. I apologize. I'm just very tired. And I sought for comforters and found none. This is Jesus. This is the way we interpret these Psalms. This is Jesus. This is Jesus on the cross. This is Jesus who has been abandoned. This is Jesus who has been rejected and, of course, murdered. And he has sought for comforters, people to be with him and to support him, and found none. Now, Maria, the Sacred Heart, had this idea, so she started the organization of the Guard of Honor, and she called it that, the Guard of Honor, because very similar to, in a way very similar to an honor guard in the military, she thought of the ones, the handful of people who did remain faithful to Jesus when he was crucified. Our Blessed Mother, of course, St. Mary Magdalene, and St. John, the beloved disciple, are the three who are typically depicted in representations of the crucifixion. And so the idea that came to her was to form this Guard of Honor based on them, where each one of us would pick an hour to accompany them and to be at the foot of the cross to comfort Jesus, to respond to the complaint of Psalm 69, excuse me, and to comfort our Lord, to be present there for him when everyone else abandoned him. I mean, of course, some hours before, Judas betrayed him. Peter denies him three times after having attacked the servant of one of the people who came to arrest Jesus. So you can imagine that grief that Jesus felt on the Mount of Olives that night, how it must have been exacerbated, not only knowing what he had to go through, but to be abandoned, to have everyone put their own needs first, and to just abandon him. You know, you'll remember when he was there with Peter and the sons of Zebedee, asking them to accompany him on the Mount of Olives for 1 hour, and they fell asleep. This really exacerbates his suffering. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, is God and is man. And, you know, when we talk about the suffering of Jesus, we usually think of the obvious suffering, the physical suffering, the crown of thorns, of being nailed to the cross, etc., the scourging, his passion and death. But we often don't think of his emotional suffering, which was extreme. It was extreme to the point of causing him to sweat, as it were, drops of blood. Now, this suffering that he experiences is something that we try to remedy. We try to make reparation for this by offering our hour. My hour is 4 to 5 p.m. And by the way, if you would like to stay here, the sisters are giving their monthly Sacred Heart talk at 4 o'clock. It won't be here in the chapel, but it will be in the parlor, so you are more than welcome. But it's what we try to do is to make reparation. Reparation is one of the central features, so to speak, of Sacred Heart devotion. It is a devotion whereby we try to give something, as insignificant as it might be, we try to give something back to the Lord when he has given us everything, including our very existence. And so we try to make reparation for the abandonment of his loved ones, with the exception of those few: the Blessed Mother, St. Mary Magdalene, St. John the Beloved Disciple, and of course Mary the wife of Clopas, but she never gets included in the artistic representations. But it doesn't matter where she is now, it's the least of her concerns. She's now in the presence of, of Jesus Christ, in the presence of love itself. So this is what we endeavor to do in the Guard of Honor. This emotional suffering is something that Jesus will articulate again in the centuries to come. Now, we, in the year 2014, have been the beneficiaries and the recipients of generations of devotion and piety. The Sacred Heart devotion is something that started in little inklings over the centuries, beginning with the Last Supper, when we have John, the beloved disciple, who is at the Last Supper, and he mentions in his Gospel, in passing, casually, he mentions talking to Peter and leaning back and reclining his head on the breast of Jesus. Think about it. What a beautiful thing, and what a powerful thing. He mentions it in passing because that's the way John is. John is very humble. He doesn't even use his own name. He identifies himself simply as the beloved disciple, which gives us in turn an opportunity as beloved disciples, which all of us are, to put ourselves in his place and to experience what he experienced in a very real way. So the Sacred Heart devotion begins right there with John, who stands for the whole church, placing his head upon the heart of God, upon the heart of love. He mentions it in passing, but I can't even imagine what that must have been like. What a transformative event in his life. And we see this hinted at in subsequent events in his life. For example, of the 12 apostles, John is the only one who gets to die of natural causes at a ripe old age. More importantly, of the 12, he is the only one present at the foot of the cross. Another great grace that he receives is the grace to see heaven. And he writes it down in our book of Revelation. He tells us, trying to describe, and I'm sure it must have been a very frustrating experience for him, trying to describe in terms and in language that his contemporaries would understand, trying to describe something that even for us, with all of our advances in science and in quantum physics and in space travel, etc., technology, 2,000 years later, we still cannot even come close to understanding heaven itself. So all of this starts with him. And this devotion will be picked up again by other people. In a very notable way, St. Gertrude. St. Gertrude, a German contemplative of, I believe, the 13th century, if I may be mistaken. She's the one who starts to write mystically about the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus. God who is love, from what St. John tells us, God who is love, who is agape, and God who becomes man. And that heart, that locus of love, that point of encounter between the human being and his creator, that heart of flesh that Jesus shows to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque some 400 years after St. Gertrude. And what does he mention to her? Among other things, because there were several revelations, but most importantly for us in the Guard of Honor, he says, look at this heart, behold this heart. And he shows her his heart of flesh, the heart of flesh of God who becomes a human being. And he complains about his emotional suffering, that emotional suffering that he experienced even in biblical times, the rejections that he constantly experienced, the ridicule, all these things, and even from the people closest to him. He says, look at this heart, which has loved people, men, so much, and has received in return little but coldness, indifference, rejection. At least you, Margaret Mary, you can love me. You can love me back. And this is where it all comes to fruition for us. This right here through the monastery of the Visitation, through St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She is able to further develop her understanding of this with the help of her spiritual director, St. Claude La Colombière, who was a Jesuit, and also someone who had been selected by the Sacred Heart of Jesus to do what he did. He was a young man who showed a great deal of promise in the Society of Jesus, and they really thought that he would be one of the top brass in the society, that he would be a great theologian, etc., etc. But no, he gets assigned to this little town, Paray-le-Monial, which 300, almost 400 years later, is still a little podunk in the country of Burgundy in France. And it's, even today, it's kind of hard to reach. And he went there obediently. And he went there because Jesus had promised to Margaret Mary Alacoque that he would send her his friend, a true friend, someone that would understand her, and that was St. Claude, and he becomes her spiritual director. This devotion to the heart of Jesus, which starts this way, starts to blossom and starts to develop, and to make a long story short, takes over the entire world. And some 220 years later, Pope Leo XIII consecrates all of humanity to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Something that had started, as we understand it today, in this humble monastery in Paray-le-Monial, France. And Paray-le-Monial is where the Guard of Honor is headquartered today. The monastery where it started in the city of Bourges has since closed, but now we're headquartered in Paray-le-Monial itself, in the very place where Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And what a great privilege it is for us to be called to join this association. You know, the devotion as we know it today is promoted by the two wings, those two wings which came together at Paray-le-Monial. We could say the left wing and the right wing, one of them being the Society of Jesus, the Jesuit order, the other one being, of course, the Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary. And we see today the Jesuits have the Apostleship of Prayer, and the Sisters of the Visitation have the Guard of Honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. A beautiful and a simple spirituality, one that has been practiced by thousands of people throughout all over the world, including saints and blesseds, like all the popes between Blessed Pius IX and Pius XII, so also Leo XIII. I had heard that John Paul II may have been a Guard of Honor, that his hour was 12 to 1. I read that recently, but I have not been able to corroborate it. It wouldn't surprise me, because the Guard of Honor is huge in Poland. So in fact, I would be surprised if he weren't a Guard of Honor. St. John Bosco was also a Guard of Honor. Several, Daniel Comboni, the founder of the Comboni Missionaries, several saints and blesseds, and a lot of anonymous people. And those anonymous people are the ones that we celebrate today in this Mass for the faithful departed. A beautiful thing that we've been called to, a beautiful thing to live our faith with our eyes wide open, to be, as St. Ignatius Loyola says that Jesuits should be, contemplatives in action. And this is something that, of course, is not reserved to the Jesuits, but to any Christian, that we can be a contemplative in action, that we can be someone who is tuned into the heart of Jesus, the way Margaret Mary Alacoque was, in our daily life, in our daily affairs. And that's one of the beautiful things of the Guard of Honor, that we're able to do that 1 hour at a time, and that we're able to offer this hour in reparation, to give glory, love, and reparation to Christ on the cross, to make reparation in what from a human perspective seems insignificant, to make reparation to our crucified Lord when everyone had abandoned him. What a beautiful and powerful thing that is. And for what seems insignificant from a human perspective is not necessarily so from God's perspective. And this is exactly what Sister Maria of the Sacred Heart had envisioned, that 1 hour at a time, somewhere in the world, in the different time zones, etc., someone would be keeping their hour at the foot of the cross with Jesus crucified. Now, one might object, well, Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago, so that just seems like sappy sentimentality. No, it's not. And why isn't it? Because it's real. Because Jesus Christ is not just a human being, he's also God. So when I use in prayer, I use my imagination, which God gave me, and I place myself at the foot of the cross, I am really doing that. I am not, you know, I'm not thinking about Julius Caesar being murdered on the Senate floor or William Shakespeare dying in his bed. No, I am talking about Jesus, the God-man, who is the point of encounter between time and eternity. And everything that Jesus lived from his conception up until his ascension into heaven, all those things that we were able to see here in this world are part of the eternal present, because he lived these things not only as man, but also as God. So therefore, his crucifixion and the moment in which his heart was pierced continues to be eternally present and available to us. So we can make ourselves present, and we can say, Jesus, you make yourself present to me over the course of 2,000 years in the Holy Eucharist. Please allow me to make myself present to you, to answer your lamentation, to make myself available to you, to comfort you. I want to give this little hour, which is insignificant from my perspective, but I want to give it to you in reparation as an offering of love, as an offering of deep gratitude. So today, let us rejoice in the gift that God has given us of his Son, and in turn, the gift that Jesus has given us through several people, but through St. Margaret Mary Alacoque par excellence. Let us give him thanks and praise for the gift of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and for the Guard of Honor, which enables us to make his Sacred Heart a very real and concrete part of our daily lived experience. God bless you all.